Follow the Money Weekly presents your precious metals market update. Here's Tom Cloud.
Hey, Tom. Great to have you back on the program.
Hey, Jerry. Great to be back.
Yeah, well, okay, let's get into some of this stuff because we have been getting questions galore about what is happening in the gold, silver, palladium market. We have seen quite a shakedown. I want to start with gold because the European debt crisis, which all of us are aware of and how grave that it truly is, has driven, it seems, many investors out of some of the traditional safe havens towards the United States dollar, towards even the Japanese yen, and towards government bonds in the United States. But some investors have fled. They have fled from gold, and they have fled from silver. What's going on? What's the reason behind all of this? And let's focus on gold first.
Well, first of all, when you say that they fled from, it's probably the exact opposite when you're talking about physical gold and silver. We sent out an article yesterday to our distribution list on what's shorts have done to the market. So when you see this big volume in ETFs like GLD and SGOL and Sprott Management, once again, as we've preached for the last 2 years, this is not real gold that's being sold. Here we are today on Friday afternoon doing this show, and I can't even take gold orders because of the shortage in physical gold. So first things first, yes, there was a sell-off in gold, but it was paper gold and not physical gold. It's been just the opposite. And yes, due to the debt crisis in Europe, it has driven money to the U.S. dollar, pushed the U.S. dollar up. And then we had Operation Twist, where our government converted short-term debt into 2.6% debt at a time inflation's gone up for 14 straight months, which basically means anybody that was crazy enough to do that is losing about 2% on their money based on the current inflation rate. So once again, there's some mirage out there, and this is not, you know, the true case of what's going on in the physical gold market.
Yeah, last week when we talked, whenever silver had its big nosedive, fell, I don't know if it was 28%, I guess, when we take it from its $42 high back in August down to where it's at now, about 30 in the month of September, at the end of the month of September. And you were telling me on the phone that you were unable to get physical silver. They were just basically shutting down. You could not get access to it.
Yeah, and we're getting an increase in premiums on Monday when October starts, which historically is one of the best months, if not the best month, four metals during the year. You've got the Indian wedding season. You've got the Lunar New Year coming up in China. You've got the end of the fiscal year in the U.S. We've got debate over the future of the budget. We've got August 2011, the biggest budget deficit month ever. So, you know, there's a lot of good things for gold in the month. Plus, today, the dollar's up to an area it couldn't maintain if it had to. So the bottom line is the problems that are going to face us in America are being faced today in Europe with the debt crisis and what's going on in Greece and others. But you can be assured that our problems are much larger on a dollar basis, and it will not be long until we have to start dealing with these same kind of problems, especially if we get another debt downgrade like Standard & Poor's and Moody's is talking about.
You know, one of the things, Tom, that just irks me so much is the economic ignorance that is on display each and every day in the mainstream media. And that's one of the things we try to confront here, whether it's, you know, CNBC or whether it's Fox Business News or whether it's, you know, some of these other outfits that are out there. They say sometimes the most inane things, the things that you say, how in the world could they possibly even think this? And how in the world did this person get a job as a business news reporter? Well, let me play you an example of something that happened right during the gold crisis last week, and I want to get your take. Roll the tape.
Bridget joins us now. Bridget, overall, how did today compare to yesterday? The biggest surprise of today was definitely gold. It was down about $100 an ounce. That represents the biggest two-day drop in 28 years. There's a couple of things going on today. Some investors were selling off their gold holdings to try to make up for losses in other areas. But Todd Hirsch says there's something else happening here, too. Some investors aren't confident that with what gold is backed by, or if it's backed by anything at all, as compared to something like the U.S. dollar. Investors are comfortable that the U.S. dollar is backed by the American government. So no matter what is happening to the American economy, something like the U.S. dollar is backed by the Federal Reserve. That's going to be around a year from now. That's a much more comfortable investment for them. Tara?
Right. So the U.S. dollar is backed up by the American government, right? The federal government. But gold, you know, we don't know what it's backed by, Tom. You know, it's not backed by anything. So,
well, it's been around since Genesis 2 when God put it in the Garden of Eden as money. I don't think paper money came along until a long time after gold did, or money did in Genesis 2. So, oh man, that one is the craziest one I've ever heard.
Come on now.
Is gold going to be around next year? I mean, that's crazy. They're saying you don't have to worry that the U.S. Treasury will be around next year, but gold might not be around next year. That's just absolutely a crazy statement.
I know. I've given up on CNBC because I've been eating dinner so many times with CNBC on in front of me, and I literally almost, you know, the food almost comes out of my mouth, so I have to change the channel to, like, I don't know, the Cartoon Network or something, just so I can get through my meal. But, I mean, this kind of stuff is just everywhere, Tom. It's people actually believe that the U.S. dollar is backed up by something.
A lot of questions this week, too, and they're saying gold went down 17%. And if you look back, even in the presentation that I just did in August, I showed that over the last 11 years, 8 of those 11 years, during the year, gold has a correction over 10%, which is normal. But I think the key thing is this drop, it went all the way to 1532 on Monday morning, did not violate the 200-day moving average. It broke through the 50 and went down, and as I tell my clients all the time, while fundamentals will win out long term, you know, what's going on buying gold, there's still a lot of people that trade investments based on technicals, and we can't ignore them. And this drop was so technical, when it got to 1532, the 200-day moving average on Monday, it went right back up $120 an ounce within 27 hours. So, gold is still in a huge, huge bull market, and nothing has changed except you've got an opportunity to buy it. And gold is still up over 18% for 2011. Gold is still in good shape.
Yeah, and we've been talking on our weekly conference call, Tom, about the fact that technical analysis is important whenever you're taking a look at something. And you're right, gold is still holding firm. Silver, on the other hand, is kind of in no man's land. It's 38% cheaper than it was back at its peak back in April, and it's caused many people to wonder if this is the ultimate buying opportunity, or there is a little bit of concern, and I want you to address this because I think it's at least worth addressing, is the fact that if the economy tailspins and productivity around the globe just goes down, what does that do to the industrial demand that drives silver prices? Are silver prices at risk if we continue to see a decrease in productivity around the globe, despite the fact that we're having a currency crisis?
Yes, no question. And I just talked about that on recent speech I made about what could go wrong, and that is what could go wrong. Silver, as long as it stays above 28, which is roughly a 50-day moving average, and every day it stays above it, you know, it's getting better. But there's still that chance it could break below 28 and go down to 24 and change, which would be the 200-day moving average. But on the flip side of that, you've got to keep thinking that Obama is not going to go in to next year. And that's where you see people like James Sinclair and James Turk saying, don't worry if it goes to 25. Don't worry if it goes back to 28 for a third time in a week. You just buy the silver and forget about it till next October of 2012, and that thing will make 50% CD, and you'll see over $50 silver. And when you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. You've already got an investment that's going to $48. Now it's back at 30 and change. And I think the key that silver investors have to do is have this as part of their portfolio that's a little risky, but on the other hand has the most potential for reward. So you buy silver and don't look at it daily. Don't worry if it goes back to 24, because just think, in January of this year, we saw silver go from 30 to 45 in 3 months. And that's what they're saying is going to happen again early in the year, because Obama and Congress will not allow this economy to go into a recession. And if necessary, they'll even fund European debt to keep that from going into a deep recession. But it's still a possibility. It's a nasty hole of money out there that is a potential. So no one knows, but smart money are still putting their percentage into silver and looking at it as a 12 or 13 month investment leading up to the election of 2012.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the fiscal policy that we've seen coming out of Washington has not been designed, I think, to be as stimulative as it could be if they decided to really go full gangbusters and approach things from a Keynesian perspective and really spend a ton of money propping up the job market or propping up the housing market. There's all kinds of things they could still do, and I'm sure that would cause gold and silver to rage. And we know that in Washington, they like to turn those knobs whenever their political jobs become in peril.
They had 43 million ounces of silver in the COMEX warehouse. They had 300 million ounces of contracts for delivery, which, you know, is the same strain we're talking about. Fiscal silver, if it has any kind of run this fall, it's going to get nearly impossible to get. I mean, while all my sources, I can still get some, even though every once in a while they'll take a day off just to balance things and make sure they're not taking orders they can't supply, because they don't want to take a risk when that market does go up. But I mean, I just keep hearing from all the major silver refineries that sometime between now and the election next year, we literally could run out of silver. Of course, the industrial demand is pretty steady, could decrease a little bit, but when investor demand, which is about 35 or 40% of the current silver demand, picks up, it would not surprise me to see premiums go way up and the price go way up. So, you know, for people out there, they should not leave their silver positions as long as you've got a comfortable percentage, you know, in there, because that is the part of your portfolio that has a chance for the highest potential given the next 13 months.
Okay, Tom, let's move over to palladium. Palladium looks like it has about a technical support level, about 605. It looks like it's tremendously oversold. We were talking earlier. You said that this price level that we're seeing right now looks like a gift. Talk about palladium for a minute.
Well, it is a gift, Jerry. It's we thought it's 719 when we got buy signal on all of our technical work, and we saw it go from 719 up to 780 right after I gave the buy signal on August the 4th. And then we've seen it drift lower as more and more of this sovereign debt and European debt situation is intensified. And our budget ends today. The fiscal year ends today for the United States government. And we're talking about a big increase in the budget next year, which Republicans don't want. There'll be a lot of fight out there. But the same situation, I looked at the weather yesterday in Siberia, where the biggest percentage of plating is mined, and we may have 2 to 3 weeks left of mining, and you couple that with the 9 new car plants that are being built in China right now, and all those are going to need substantial amounts of palladium for the catalytic converter, and they're still talking about over 1,100,000 new cars in 2012 in China. And if nothing else except just those cars alone, they said it would raise palladium 6-7%. But I think you're going to see palladium zoom back at 17-19 moving average and go up from there. I'm still out there predicting $900 palladium this year. It's not as certain as it was, but I'm still very confident that when it starts moving, it's going to move very quickly. I had a major investor on Wednesday call, and the biggest palladium order I've ever placed. So he was getting it from a time in service that called it the best kept secret in the investment business. So put a little bit in palladium. I think you'll be very, very thrilled with it. If you buy next week in the low 600s, mid 600s, I think on a worst case scenario, you'll make 10 to 20% rest of the year net to the investor. So I'm still bullish on palladium. Nothing has changed except the events that caused silver to go down and gold to go down also brought palladium down, which it really shouldn't have, but it did.
Tom, I know many people have bought gold and silver coins or bars from you. Whenever you sell palladium, what's your preferred vehicle for that? How do you like to sell palladium?
Well, I like the 1 ounce palladium COMEX bars, the kind they use in future exchange. They look just like 1 ounce silver bars, except they're palladium. And a lot of people like the palladium maple leaf. That's really the only two options we have, are 1 ounce palladium COMEX bars or 1 ounce palladium maple leaf. The United States government could not get enough palladium and backed out on producing the palladium American Eagle about 3 months ago that had been planned and announced, but now they're not going to have it. So if you like coins, you go with the maple leaf, but it's about, I think, about 1.5% more expensive than just buying the COMEX brand palladium bars.
All right, Tom. Well, as always, very informative. Thank you for the update, and we'll look forward to next week.
I'll do that, Jerry. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, Tom Cloud is a precious metals advisor. He's been in the business for about 35 years, servicing over 10,000 clients across the country since 1977. If you're interested in talking to Tom Cloud for a free precious metals consultation, or you'd like to buy or sell gold and silver and palladium, simply call him at 800-247-2812. And if you prefer, you can hop onto our website, ftmdaily.com, and you can sign up for his free precious metals updates through email, where he issues buy and sell signals, as well as timely news stories for those of you who are interested in gold and silver investing. That's ftmdaily.com. Click on the precious metals tab or call Tom directly, 800-247-2812.